Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
Luke 1:37, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." And Psalm 40 verse 2 says, "He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock." Welcome to this Foster Care Month edition of Orphans No More. I'm Sandra Flack, Executive Director of Justice for Orphans. Joining me today is a local foster mom, Beth. We're not using her last name for confidentiality reasons to protect the children in her care. Beth and her husband, Patrick, have 6 biological kids, 3 grandkids. Those are always the best. That's grandchildren are the greatest invention in the world. They have custody of 4 children. They're currently fostering 1. And 3 children they previously fostered frequently visit their home. Welcome, Beth.
Thank you.
So let's get right to it. 6 biological kids. Why did you begin fostering?
On top of having children, I run a daycare. And in doing that, in a 2-year period, we had 16 foster children coming in and out of daycare. And 2 of the kids had come in and out many times going to different homes. One was this beautiful little girl that everybody wanted to keep. And the other one was a boy that was just difficult, didn't walk between the lines, and so they kept getting moved. And I had always wanted to do foster care, and my husband said, "We had 6, we did our part." And when he saw how many times this little boy had been moved, he finally said, "Enough's enough, what can I do?" Mm. And when anybody comes to the point of what can I do, you don't know what that journey's going to entail, yeah, but you know it's something. And from there, we signed up for the foster care classes. These 2 children never did get to come into foster care with me, but they did end up going home to the dad, and I see them in town. And wow, they always, you know, that, "I remember you, do you remember me?"
Yeah.
So I was, even though I wasn't their foster parent, because they had been in my care, I was an always. And I think that's an important spot we play.
Yeah. And you have a big house, which helps.
I do. I have a very big house. When you look at it, what are you doing with that? We fill it.
Yeah. How many rooms? You told me I was
we
amazed.
We have 17 rooms and 7 bedrooms.
Wow. That's amazing.
Only 2 working bathrooms. So
wow.
I have a 3rd one, but we don't use that one right now.
Wow. So how many years have you been fostering?
About 6.5 years.
Wow.
Yep.
And how many kids have you fostered in that time?
Over 20, but for the most part, and I don't know why, because I know a lot of foster parents that have kids come and go. For the most part, we have long-term placements, 1 to 2, and as we're doing this custody thing right now, this is 3.5 years with the 4 children.
Wow.
And they started out as foster children.
Would you share a story from your experience?
Yes. There's this one little boy that had a rap sheet that was just so long and so terrifying. When I first got the call, I thought, oh, I can't do that. So I told them no. And they called a couple more times, and it took a 3-month period. My youngest son at the time was 16, and we decided this needed to be a family decision. And I said, I'd like you to come with us. See, I'm going to cry.
It's okay.
I would like you to come with us to meet him. And his response, which I never expected, was, how can I ever tell a child not to come here?
Mm.
So that just kind of broke our heart. And so we go and we meet him. And he wasn't even eligible for foster care. He was actually in a group home.
Wow.
And we got there and he walks in. And he's a goofy little guy. And he says, oh, I hate my initials. They're ELF. And my husband laughs and he turns and he says to him, oh, I hate mine too. They're pee-pee. and he just died laughing onto the ground. But it broke the ice And he came to live with us. And it ended up, we actually knew people that knew of him. And he is a delightful, delightful boy. He ended up living with us for 2 years. And during that time, made honor roll here. He really struggled academically and never had been exposed to
good
more.
Things. Yeah.
Even to eating right and just the things that we expect every day sometimes are not in their lives.
Right.
So he makes honor roll now, and so he's with us for 2 years. And during that 2 years, I got to know the family. And as we all know, there's not a manual when we become parents on this is how we parent.
Right.
So some of it was they just didn't know how to parent. And I got to know them. I fell in love with them. So we were switching churches at the time, and we found a church that we're going to go to, and I got permission for the county for them to go with us. And they
The biological parents.
So this is the first time that they're going with us. They follow us. They don't know where we're going. I didn't tell them, and it was our first time going there. And as we get there and we go in, this biological mom had not seen her daughter or the mother in 2 years.
Wow.
And this was where she went to church.
So the grandma of the little boy went to church
at
your church.
Yes, that we did not know.
Wow.
I never get to say this is not where I'm supposed to be. I don't get to say.
Because God has you exactly where he wants you to be.
Yep, when something like that happens, well, they have, since that point, the boy has gone home. And they have not missed a week at church. And we have remained very good friends and built a good relationship. That is not always how it goes.
Right.
Sometimes you love children and the parents resent you. But
right.
this specific mom has just said over and over again, how could I resent you? You gave my child a safe haven when I could not.
Wow. And that's, I really do see that, because the point of foster care, as you know, Beth, is to reunify the child with the biological parents when it's safe and prudent to do so. And sometimes that does happen. But really, I think sometimes foster parents or people who anticipate maybe doing foster care think the biological parents are bad. You know, they're you know, all kinds of things that you might think about them. But really, that's just another mission field. If we can, you know, minister to the biological parents when that child goes back, and hopefully that time comes when the child can go back. You know, here, this family is, did you say 4 years?
Yeah.
They've been coming to church faithfully.
Yeah.
And that's made all of the difference. And your relationship has been probably key in that.
Well, it wasn't just my relationship. It was also my children and my in-laws and my mother. It was kind of like the, you raise a child, but it takes a group of people to really do it.
Yes.
And oh, still to this day, when he gets his report card, he takes it to Poppy. I get a dollar.
And I just heard, I was away at a conference, and there was one statement that was just, you know, truth to me, was every child is just one caring adult away from success. And that one caring adult may be the foster parent. You know, and we never know what that one thing that we say or do can make all a difference in their life. So in your spare time, you also do something called tenacious fencing. Tell us about that.
I am passionate about fencing. Most of my children,
and this is
fencing
where
is with
the sword
a
and
foil.
All that. A foil.
Yep. And like Princess Bride.
Yeah.
And it's a sport where you learn how to be polite, how to self-regulate your emotions. Mm. And for a foster child, sometimes you're going into a home you don't know, a school you don't know, and then if you take them to do soccer or something, they're not quite ready to jump into a team sport.
Right.
But you can put a mask on and you can be anybody.
Mm.
And I joke sometimes that I think everyone should try fencing because It teaches self-discipline. You're going to know how to deal with that road rage when you're an adult, when that person pulls out in front of you. And you'll have wins and you have losses. And in fencing, you're always going to lose sometime. It's just part of the sport.
Right.
And in life, we're going to lose. And to be able to monitor the emotions that go with it, I think, is very important. And academically, they call it a chess game on your feet. You know, you have to think your move ahead. You have to, you just have to think. And it's, I think it's an awesome sport.
And it teaches kids to think ahead like
that.
Yeah.
And so you think, oh, is this going to produce violence, you know, because you're, they say, hitting somebody with a foil. Well, no, it's all done electric and you're softly touching someone with it. So it's also teaching that regulation. It's not violent. You want to hit them softer, and
wow, I have a kid. I could sign up for that.
You should.
Who needs to learn all of that?
Now, the other part of the tenacious fencing. As we started this, yes, I had some of my kids go to World Cups and take it to that level.
Oh wow!
But I've also, out of the last Olympics, one of my sons beat two of them in the last 4 years.
Wow!
So. You don't know where it's going to take you. But then there's some kids where they may only fence for a month or two, but what you walk away with it is self-esteem. Mm. And so, but so for foster children, I offer fencing for foster children for free.
Wow.
And the reason being is, as a foster parent, you're not getting rich.
Right.
That's not one of those things that go with it. But I think having a sport that you can participate in, your foster parents can be there, it can be a family event. So that's my passion.
Yeah. And how would a family interested in tenacious fencing contact you for that?
From this radio station through you.
Through me. So contact justicefororphansny.org. And you'll reach my email through that, and then I will connect you with Beth. So wonderful.
Thank you.
I want to remind our listeners that you are tuned into Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. To learn more about adoption and foster care, visit our website at justicefororphansny.org. My guest today is Beth, a local foster mom who's been fostering nearly 7 years and has had many kids in her home. And Beth, you are also a Teen Challenge graduate yourself. Has your life experience helped you to connect with these kids, foster kids?
Yes, with the children, but also with the parents.
Oh, yeah.
Not always. As I said earlier, there's times where there's a relationship, there's connection, but then there's times when there's bitterness.
Mm.
But as I have a child that it's just not going well, I've been there when life's not connecting. And I feel that through when I was in Teen Challenge, having love just put around me, and I think I was given the example of how to love someone like that. And when I say like that, somebody that's been hurt, somebody that didn't deserve what is in their path. And the other part, I'll give another story. I have three kids that were with me for 2 years, and I have a very strong bond with them. He even told his counselor I was his always.
Aww.
And yeah. So as the mom was in rehab, I didn't tell her right off, because then, oh, why do you have my children if you've been through Teen Challenge? Well, I get to say I'm certifiably clean. And I went through that when I was 17, and I'm now 56. So it was a long time ago, but I was able to hold her when it got hard.
Mm.
And I truly get how hard it is to go through a program. And I even went and saw one of the moms when she was in jail. And I hadn't done that as an adult, and I felt like I was putting on my big boy boots, and they told me I couldn't see the person, and I thought, no, you just listen. And as soon as I got them to hear, I don't have an agenda. I had these children in my care. I just want to make sure they're okay. And they let me in, and she just held me.
Wow.
And so when we do foster care, it is not just the children. it's the parents,
too. Parents, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you can relate, because sometimes it's like what brought you to Teen Challenge is what's going on in the life of the parents that got their kids in foster care.
Yes.
So again, it's another wraparound ministry.
Yes.
In a sense, where we can come alongside a family.
Yes.
You know, and help that family come
back
together.
But you don't have to have that to become a foster parent.
Right.
You have to have a big heart.
Yeah.
And God fills that with what needs to be there.
And His compassion fills us to have compassion on the children who come in so wounded and broken and needy, and the parents.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I'm never going to say it's easy when they leave. I had two for a year. I cried. The little boy got in the car, and they had been with us, and he had a really strong relationship with my husband. And the little girl, I just, adored her. So they get in the car when they're finally going home, and he says to Pat, "I'll see you in a couple days."
Aww.
And he just didn't get
that he wasn't going to come
back. So it has the hard part, and I thought, can I ever do this again?
Yeah.
And then the voice from the Lord is, can you ever not do this again?
Yeah.
So did I give a safe haven for that time? Yes.
Yes. Yeah, you were that person that those children needed. You and your husband, and that's kids need. They need that safe place, whether it's temporarily, for weeks, months, years, or permanently in some cases. So, Beth, do you believe Christians should be involved in foster care in some way?
Absolutely. This is probably your verse. God calls us to be there for the orphans and the widows, and whether it's taking children in or bringing meals in when you, like, we had had seven children for, and not everybody does that, but think of the size of my house, for 2 years, and three of them had gone home, and I thought, we're going to take a breather. And we were doing a singles night that night for our church. And I'm out there with all these younger adults and thinking, only four children. And that evening, we got a call for seven children that were, and we would have just done it through Christmas, and it didn't end up that they had to come. But you don't know where you get the breather, where you don't get the breather. You just go forward.
Yeah. And so some of us are called to bring children into our home.
I did get lost. Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
So as children come in and out, sometimes the laundry gets behind, which is a lot.
I can relate to that.
But we have one lady in our church that decided to go through the foster care classes, and she'd adopted 17 years ago, but she didn't do it to do foster care again. She did it to help my husband and I. She sat us to dinner, which, when you go to dinner with a bunch of kids, it's not going to be the perfect, always the please and thank yous that you would like.
And something's going to get spilled.
Yep. And did the first time we went there. But she just, and she's taken the kids out for events, and I didn't know how to do a little black girl's hair. She helped me find a place and took me to a barber. And so it's far more than just taking the child in your home. You can get behind them on any area you feel God is saying, I think I can do that for her. Yeah. I think I can do that. And just be open to the Holy Spirit. And the other thing is, as I got older, I thought, I'm too tired. Well, yeah, my joints hurt and I'm older. But there's a different kind of compassion as we get older. Mm-hmm. So I would never say, I'm too old for that. I think you're given the strength for the day.
Absolutely. And there's something for everybody to
do.
You know, we do want to see Christians open their homes to kids in need and become foster parents. But a majority of us won't have that call. but we can wrap around other families in our church and in our community who have opened their home because it is difficult and it can be crazy. And I often give the illustration of a foster family can get a call at 3 a.m. and by 6 a.m. there's a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 6-month-old on their doorstep with their caseworker, and they come with just the clothes on their back, no diapers, no formula for the 2-year-old, and they're traumatized because they were just pulled out of a traumatic home situation in the middle of the night. What's the foster family to do? And really, the church should be the next phone call that that family makes. And by 7 a.m., somebody from church can be there with formula, with diapers. Somebody at church is already organizing a week's worth of meals because those foster parents are going to have to take those children to the pediatrician for evaluation. You know, there's going to be counseling that probably will need to be set up. All these things are going on. And for that family to have that support, somebody coming in to help with laundry, somebody to take their biological children maybe to Little League practice or something, there's always a need. So if you like to provide transportation, if you like to provide meals, if you want to bring clothing, diapers, formula, there's always something for everybody in the church to do. And it may be being called to foster, or it may be being called to come alongside, use your gifts and talents. If you like to cook, bring a meal. You know, if you like to shop, go shopping. You know, I know of a family who they had a whole bunch of little ones that they were fostering, and somebody committed to that family to go grocery shopping for them once a week. So foster mom made a list, gave them the money, and they went to the grocery store and
That's
brought,
nice.
You know, I could use this at my house.
Me too.
But there's something for everybody to do. So as we get ready to wrap up here, Beth, is there anything else on your heart that you would want our listeners to know?
There's a song that says, I stand my ground where hope can be found. Mm. And when you first hear it, it's the hope maybe that I can get. But sometimes if we think outside of the box a little bit, it's the hope that we're giving.
Yeah.
We're giving hope for tomorrow. We're giving a hope for a bed that's clean and they get to sleep through the night. We get to be the hope that they get held. And we get to be the hope for the parents sometimes that their children are in a safe place.
Mm.
And I know that this may sound silly, but my biggest hope is that as a child grows up, that when they look back, that it won't be that they were in foster care, but that they were at Patton Bess.
Mm.
And that it won't have that stigmatism, but that it was a warm place to be safe.
Yes, a safe place. Yes. And every child deserves a safe place.
Yes.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for all that you're doing for vulnerable kids in our community. And thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
So I do want to remind everybody that May is National Foster Care Month. And in honor of National Foster Care Month, Justice for Orphans will be hosting our 3rd annual Love in Action brunch. It is on Wednesday, May 25th, 9 a.m. to noon at Loudonville Community Church. It's not too late to register. You can also just show up at the door. You can join us and learn how you, your family, and your church can care for local kids in foster care. Come find out that you can help beyond just being a foster parent, like what we were just talking about a few minutes ago. You can bless local foster families also. You can be a blessing to those birth parents that need that support and that encouragement and that help. We've got a lineup of New York pastors and foster families who have stepped up for local kids in care. We've got all the local foster care agencies are going to be on hand so you can learn how the system works and how you could get involved. As Beth and I were talking about, you know, becoming a babysitter or providing respite or providing transportation, you can go through a certification process. It doesn't cost anything. It's fingerprinting and a background check. They might run your driver's license, things like that. And then you're cleared and certified and able to help foster families in your own church, in your own community. There's so many ways that you can help, and you can ask all those questions. We're going to have a Q&A. Beth is going to be there. I'm going to be there. Last week's guest, Stephen Stewart, a local former foster youth who's now a youth pastor and an anointed worship leader. He's going to be joining us. He's going to actually lead us in worship first thing in the morning at 9. He's going to be sharing his testimony. Lots of opportunities to just come and learn how you can make a difference in the lives of vulnerable kids in your very own community, in our community. I'm going to be there along with our JFO team. You can come and ask questions to local foster parents, speak to Stephen, who was a foster youth, talk to those agency reps. Lots of opportunities to find out how you can make a difference. And we're hoping pastors come so that they can be sharing this with their congregation. We're hoping that people interested in becoming foster parents will come. And if you're just wanting to learn more, even how you can bring a meal, something as simple as that can be such a huge blessing to foster families. Come out, join us. It's free. We'll give you brunch. Free food is even involved. So all of the details and free registration are on our website at justicefororphansny.org. And I think I might have forgotten to mention that this conference is at Loudonville Community Church. And it's on, again, it's May 25th. Wednesday, May 25th, 9 a.m. to noon. So we hope to see you there. Again, details and free registration, and to learn more about tenacious fencing also, go to our website, justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.